Yeah. You're checking out the Slam Magazine Respect the Game podcast. You heard it first from your boy, Jay.
What's good, world? It's your boy Pete Walsh, aka Lamborghini Petey. I'm back again. Episodes, I think this is 65 of the Respect the Game podcast. Shout out my boy Abe Schwadron, my former co-host. Haven't shouted him out in a minute, so got to show him love real quick. But on today's show, we got a special guest, Jersey's finest, San Antonio Spurs guard, forward, I don't even know what to call it, Kyle Anderson. Kyle, thank you for coming by, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So when people ask you, like, what position do you play, like, what's your standard answer?
I always tell people I'm a basketball player. You know, I could do many different things, play different positions. Actually, I'm a point guard.
Yeah.
I've always been since I was a kid, but I think my game is, you know, expand a little bit so where I can do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, in today's NBA, you know, positions don't really matter as much as they once did. It's, you know, everyone plays on the ball. Like, LeBron is 6'8", and he plays point guard, so whatever. But anyway, I digress. So, you know, you're in town, you know, off season, back from Texas for a little bit. I know you've been hanging out in LA a little bit, but you're here this week for a very special cause event that you've been doing. I think this is what, your third year doing it?
Third year.
So it's the Celebrate Life Day. It's this Saturday, August 12th in North Bergen, New Jersey. So why don't you just, you know, tell us a little bit about the day and why you chose to put it together.
Yeah, it's a very special event. It's our third year running, like you said. You know, we call it, you know, it's the Celebrate Life Day in honor of my friend Paul Kim, who's passed away due to suicide. You know, we wanted to keep his name alive somehow. He was one of my best buddies, so we just wanted to keep his name alive and, you know, honor him in some way. And you know, I think the first 2 years, you know, we kind of aimed at suicide prevention being our whole theme and whatnot. But I think this year we're just going to go with celebrating life in honor of Paul's name. It's going to be a special event. We're running a clinic in the morning, you know, for the kids. The ages are 6 to 12. And, you know, we're just going to run some drills out there with them. Me, my dad, my brothers, you know, put them through some drills, you know, see what, you know, what we do to practice on our game. Then we have a high school tournament where the kids will play pool, play games, and, you know, the winner of each pool will play in a playoff and eventually compete for a championship. I think that's pretty cool. That was very fun to watch last year. And then we'll do a men's tournament for the community. Guys around the neighborhood put teams in. That was also pretty cool. We had some good games last game. Some talent came out. You know, we had a big crowd. You know, that's kind of what I wanted with that is, you know, the whole street ball feel.
Yeah.
Guys flooding the streets, everybody from my neighborhood coming out and supporting, and then just being there to watch, you know, some good games go on. Paul loved basketball, so I think it's important for us to, you know, just, you know, honor in that way, just everybody having fun, celebrating life. That's the whole theme.
No, that's really, you know, I love seeing guys come back and do stuff in their communities. You know, and especially for a cause like this, it hits a lot of people, and, you know, people may not feel comfortable talking about it. So I think that's cool for a guy of your stature who plays in the NBA to, you know, honor your friend who died in a tragic situation, and in a tragic way. So, you know, props to you, man. And then where is it? Where is the clinic exactly?
The clinic, the high school tournament and the men's tournament will be held at James Braddock Park in North Bergen, New Jersey. Hudson County Park, 80th Street Park, many different names. You know, 80, it's one of our big parks in our neighborhood, so it's, you know, local.
You gonna hoop it all?
You might see me make an appearance. Not sure.
uh So wait, but more importantly, are you going to bring the dogs out?
Definitely. The dogs should be there. Hopefully the police allow it and let them hang out there.
So you got two German Shepherds,
yes,
right?
Yes, two German Shepherds. Yeah,
their names are?
Steely and Nino. Steel's the oldest one. He's two, about to be three in October. And Nino is one, about to be two in, I want to say, November.
Yeah, and I'm very interested in, like, the life of NBA dogs. Right. as a dog owner myself, I know my dog, like, freaks the hell out every time we go away. So right. I know, you know, you're on the road half the year.
Right.
Who, like, takes care of the dogs? Do you hire someone? Do your parents look after them? Like, what's the deal?
Well, when I'm on the road, we'll probably have someone in my family. My mom or somebody will watch them. Or, you know, whoever's down there at the time will take care of them. But in the summertime, my dad's a school teacher, so he doesn't work. So he gets to handle the dogs. He loves the dogs, my dad. He's, you know, that makes his summer complete is, you know, me giving him the dogs for the summer, and he watches them, takes care of them. It's actually funny because, you know, my parents spoiled them, and one of them is staying with me for the weekend. And, you know, my parents, you know, go to a store and buy food for them, like, you know, grilled chickens and fresh fruit and all that stuff. And, you know, I poured some food in the bowl and my dog looked at me like, you know, what is this? Like, you know, I don't normally get this, you know. Grandma and grandpa get me, you know, way better food than this. But
yeah.
I found that pretty funny. I'm like, nah, you got to eat that, man.
Yeah, I do the same thing because whenever, you know, my wife and I go on vacation or go away for a weekend, we'll dump the dog with my parents. Yeah. And so I was up there this weekend with the dog. And my dad is, like, feeding him, like, chips. Right. And, like, I'm like, yo, you can't feed the dog. So, because when I take him home, he doesn't know when to stop.
Right.
He doesn't get it.
Right.
But I was watching the Westminster kennel or the dog show, the big dog show they have every year. And, you know, I was, like, watching it like it was a Super Bowl. I loved it. But, you know, the commercial pops up. And all of a sudden, it's Kyle Anderson and his two dogs. And I was like, what the hell? Like, the NBA is everywhere.
Right.
And so how did that even happen? How did they reach out to you? What was going on?
Well, we did it for Petco. They, you know, they asked us to send, you know, a little 30-second clip, you know, showing them tricks or doing whatever, you know, you like to do with our dogs. And, you know, what I do all the time is just take them up to a little area that's fenced off and by my house in Texas and, you know, like to throw a stick with them and get them tired. That way they're not bothering me in the house. So we just sent them a 30 second video of them doing that, and sure enough, it appeared. I was pretty surprised too.
Yeah. So you're gonna get the Petco sponsorship this season?
I don't know. We'll see.
So, you know, before we stepped in here, we were just talking a little bit about street ball and, you know, playing at Dykeman, and you hooped at Dykeman this summer. So, you know, I mean, Dykeman, for people that don't know, is a big park in uptown New York City. It's super popular. Like, NBA guys like yourself come, like KD hooped there during the 2011 lockout. Whenever guys come through the city, they usually play there. Rucker, Pro City, one of the local leagues. But how do Manu Ginobili and like Tony Parker and those guys, like, do they like get the appeal or like get Dykeman at all?
You wouldn't get it until you're there at a game. You wouldn't know the feeling or the experience until you're actually there. I always see the reason I go out there still is I've watched Skip to Malou at the Rucker. I've watched the best kept secret Kareem Reed at the Rucker. I've watched Baron Davis and J.R. Smith and those guys form a team from L.A. to come play against Skip and, you know, the best kept secret and the best players from New York. I've watched all that at the Rucker. I watched all that at Dykeman or Tri-State, all these areas. So I think it's just, you know, it's just part of the culture. And I think if it was up to me, I wish all NBA players would go back and play somewhere in the summer. You know, probably some would disagree with playing outside, but hey, I think that's just the culture in New York City. You know, we grew up, you know, playing outside in a park, and, you know, I think it's cool that, you know, any NBA player that goes out there and does it, it's awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like, you know, the fans love it, obviously, and, you know, it's just cool to see you guys not playing in front of 30,000 people,
right.
And, like, you know, I was watching there was like a highlight clip of you on YouTube this from when you played it this summer, and like you're like talking trash with the fans, and I feel like, you know, you're known as a pretty laid back guy.
Right.
I mean, what did just being back at Dykeman like bring that out of you?
Yeah. I try to keep a cool demeanor on the court, but when it comes to street ball, that's you know, you got to defend yourself. You got to hold your own. Because once they see that it let that, you know, it gets to you, you know, they keep going. So you just got to find a way to shut them up.
Yeah, and it's cool that, you know, fans there don't care if, you know, you're Kyle Anderson or you're, you know, the guy from 181st Street. It doesn't matter.
No.
But have you been following Jellyfam and that whole rise and, you know, because they had a big event over at Dykeman this weekend?
Definitely. I think what they're doing is awesome. You know, I love those group of kids. You know, what amazes me and what's, you know, so appealing to me, and all those kids seem like good kids, and I've met most of them, and they're all good kids. I think they all got their head on straight. They're all kids that love to be in the gym, from what I watch on Instagram and keeping up with them. You know, the kid Isaiah Washington, always posting videos in the gym. Quiverly, Jordan Walker, I've met going up to play at Seton Hall. He's a great dude.
A lot of Jersey kids.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's all awesome. You know, I'm loving the movement that they got going on. So it's definitely cool.
Yeah, and it's interesting you bring up the social media aspect of it, because, you know, you were what, class of 2011?
2012.
Right? 2012, and you were a top five recruit.
Right.
And, you know, your recruitment was pretty highly publicized.
Right.
You know, people were really following it. And, you know, these kids now are juniors and seniors and, like, have these huge social media followings.
I see that.
And they have to be almost professional already. Right. So, like, I guess how much does that play into things now? Like, even 2012 was only 5 years ago. It wasn't like that.
Right. No, I looked on Instagram in high school, I probably had, like, 2,000 followers.
Yeah.
You know, these kids today, you know, 125, you know, 200, 300,000 followers. It's a part of what's going on right now. Social media is playing a big part in our world, and you know, like you said, those kids got to keep it professional at an early age. You know, I try to help them out with that, you know, everybody's watching, and you know, the good character you keep, you know, will go a long way for you. That it's very important, especially starting at that age, because the NBA is watching them.
Mm-hmm.
Colleges are watching them. So everybody's watching. I try to share that with all of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's impossible not to watch. If you're a fan of basketball, you work in the industry, like, you know about these kids at this point. And they're only, you know, some of them are only 16 years old. It's wild. But that's cool that, you know, you try and, when you talk to them, kind of shed some light and help them out. But I feel like that's pretty common amongst the Jersey, the basketball players from New Jersey. I feel like you guys are very tight-knit, and even though, like, Jersey's one of the smallest states in the country, like, you guys just churn out ball players year after year. So I've always been fascinated by that and how the hell that even happened. So I don't know, so as someone from Jersey, maybe you could shed a little light on how basketball is so strong for the state.
I'm not sure. It's big time in our state. You know, Jersey has a good couple high school football teams, but high school basketball is huge in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got all these great counties with great schools, Linden, St. Anthony's, St. Pat's, Benedict's, you know, it's
Roselle.
Plainfield High School, Roselle Catholic,
Peter's.
Teaneck High School, same, you know, all these great high schools. It's so competitive. You know, I still try to keep up with it today. You know, being in the NBA still, high school basketball, basketball is pretty big in New Jersey.
And then does that carry over to the league at all? Like, when you see, like, a J.R. Smith or Kyrie, there, like, an unspoken bond between you guys?
Definitely. I've always looked at it like that. It's pretty unwritten, but, you know, everybody you see from Jersey, you know, you guys, you know, just, you know what it is already. Wade Baldwin, Carl Towns, J.R. has always been great to me. J.R. has always been like a mentor, a big brother to me. So, you know, Kyrie as well. So, you know, it's an unspoken bond, like you said.
Yeah, we got to get like a Jersey versus the world game, either at, like, Dykeman or something. Just have you guys come out and play either, like, the best from California or something like that. I don't know. I feel like that would be amazing.
Definitely.
But, you know, speaking of St. Anthony's, which is where you spent 2 years after you went to Patterson Catholic.
Right.
So I guess you have the distinction of going to two powerhouse high schools that have both unfortunately closed down. But I guess St. Anthony's has such a esteemed track record.
Yeah.
You know, Woj wrote the book about it back in the day. Obviously, Bob Hurley is one of the most respected, well-known coaches. So how did playing there, you know, help your game? You know, I think you went 65-0 when you were there, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. So what was your experience at St. Anthony's like?
It was awesome. You know, we were all, I would say Miles Mack and myself, Miles was with me at Patterson Catholic. We were both
bummed. He went to Rutgers, right?
Yeah, he played for RU. I think we were both bummed when the school closed down, PC. But I think to go to St. Anthony's was maybe a blessing in disguise. Mm-hmm. You know, we went to a program that was ready to win, and we were also ready to win. So, you know, I think it just hit off perfectly. You know what I think about St. Ant's and my 2 years there? Coach Hurley was so tough on us, and the hard work, the work was so hard. You know, we just had a lot to do on the court, and, you know, workouts were tough. Practice was tough. So when the game came, it was just easy to us. It was, you know, it came so easy to us. That's why we were able to beat everybody. You know, practice and the offseason was just so tough for us that the game was the easy part.
So I guess playing under Coach Pop is that similar to Hurley? Do they have like a similar style at all or not?
Yeah, they do have a similar style. Both very good coaches, obviously. They bring the best out of you. That's what I'd say about both their styles. When you're on the floor with them coaching, you got to give your all. There's no slacking off with them too, or they're gonna find somebody that can do it better. So.
Yeah.
You know, I would say that's, you know, the similarities they have.
Yeah, and in 2012, you were part of a powerhouse recruiting class. Mm-hmm. It was you, Shabazz Muhammad, mm-hmm. Jordan Adams, Tony Parker, all committed to UCLA.
Right.
I weirdly remember your recruiting process being, like, super highly publicized and, like, kind of – no?
No. Oh, you remember that it was?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. It was.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I was just paying more attention because, uh-huh. you had the big article in Slam.
Yeah.
You know, you were a high school American with Slam.
Yeah.
But what do you remember? Like, what is that time like for an 18-year-old kid? Is it overwhelming? Is it fun? I feel like if you're getting constant phone calls, at some point it loses its allure a little bit.
It was annoying. I would say that. It was tough. but it came with the territory, obviously. Yeah. You know, it was also pretty cool to see all these, you know, big-time college coaches calling your phone or coming to your school to speak to you. That was showing up to your games. That was pretty cool. Actually, I've never shared this. I was actually pretty close to going to Seton Hall. Mm-hmm. I wanted to stay home. I loved Kevin Willard and their staff. Shaheen Holloway was awesome, and they all did a great job. I was actually probably, I'd say, a week away going to Seton Hall, but you know, I just thought it through, and I thought me staying in New Jersey is where I'm comfortable, and in life you don't be comfortable the whole time. So I just figured, hey, let's go to UCLA and move out there on my own and learn how to do stuff on my own, things like that, and let's give it a try. So it was just kind of a weird decision that I made, but I was also very happy with the decision.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot easier to wake up for a 6 a.m. workout in December when it's 75
exactly.
in the snow. But yeah, you spent 2 years at UCLA. I think you guys went to the Sweet 16,
right? Yeah, my sophomore year.
I mean, what was your experience at UCLA? Obviously, one of the best programs in history of basketball, regardless of any level.
Right.
What was it like just knowing that you're sharing, lineage with, like, guys like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Baron Davis, all these guys?
Nah, the list goes on. The list goes on. You said it best.
Yeah.
Putting the UCLA jersey on, that's big time. There's, a lot of tradition you got to keep up with, kind of similar to St. Anthony's, kind of similar to the Spurs. So, it was just an honor to, have those guys come back and speak to us, see all those names in the rafters, see all those national championships. It was like the coolest thing ever to my dad. He remembers that area, how great John Wooden was, how great those UCLA national championship teams were. I like you said, it was 80 degrees in the wintertime. I just couldn't turn that down, man. It was awesome. I love the UCLA tradition, the culture, so yeah. I had to be a part of it.
Yeah, and you keep finding yourself landing at these, prestige programs.
Right, right.
Do you ever think about that?
Yeah, I do. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. To play for two Hall of Fame coaches at the age of 23, that's not many people say they can do that.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then, so many people talk about the Spurs culture, right. And, you look at other teams are trying to emulate what you guys do or what the front office does. I know I was working on a story about the Spurs last season, and I got in touch with the PR guy whose name is evading me now, and I was like, you know, we want to do this nice story about, you know, how the Spurs keep finding these guys from either Europe or the G League or what have you, and, you know, it's, they come in and they produce right away. And the guy responded, he's like, you know, that sounds awesome, but the Spurs, that we don't like talking about ourselves. So, I mean, and that's telling, because usually team would be like, hell yeah, like, let's do it. Right. And I was taken aback a little bit, but also, like, totally respected the hell out of that. So, you know, when you hear Spurs culture, like, what does that mean to you? What does it mean to somebody that's actually with the team?
Yeah, we obviously hear it a lot. I'm not sure. I think, you know what brings Spurs culture to mind is when we lose games, Coach Pop says, you know, we win games together, we lose games together. We do both with class. So, you know, that's just kind of way things are, how things are done around there, and how we do things. You know, we handle it with class. We have respect for our opponent. I don't know how to explain it. It's just a certain way we do things.
I'm sure for someone who, you know, lives it day to day, you know, it's just life.
Right.
It's like, this is just what you get used to.
Exactly.
It's not some, you know, big you know, problem that you need to crack. It's
like,
yo, I'm with the Spurs. This is how they do shit. If
exactly.
I don't do it that way, I'm not going to be on the Spurs for much longer.
Exactly.
So I feel like as a player, it's like, I don't know. I feel like, you know, us in the media, we play it up a little bit maybe. Right. But, you know, it's crazy. You guys go to the playoffs every single year.
Yeah.
You know, you find a guy like Jonathan Simmons playing in whatever league he was playing, and he comes in, he gets a big deal.
Yep.
So, you know, it's just like, and I mean, when you were drafted there, we were like, hell yeah, like, I'm with the Spurs. Yeah, I mean, I feel like when DeJounte Murray got drafted there, I was like, oh, that's the steal of the draft. And you got drafted there, oh, that's the steal of the draft. So I feel like when guys go there, you're automatically like, have, I guess, predetermined success. Like, obviously, you still have to put in the work, but it's such a great, I guess, ecosystem for players like yourself.
It's definitely, you get a base. You know, you get a great base. You learn a lot. You know what? I will never take for granted is what I learned off the court is watching those guys. Like, you know, even as a basketball fan, you kidding me? You allow me to watch, you know, Timmy Duncan work out every day, or allow me to watch Manu Ginobili work out every day, be on the court with those guys. You know, I think I just watched how they do things off the court and how they handled situations. You know, I enjoyed watching it. I'm using that for the rest of my career. You know, not even to mention on the court. You know, the things they did on the court were awesome too. So, you know, I think it was just, once you're drafted to San Antonio as a first round pick, it's just a great base. It's, you know, you're going to learn a lot, and you got to use that for the rest of your career.
Yeah. And I mean, those are things that are priceless.
Right.
You know, watching a guy like Tim Duncan,
right,
and even learning under Pop, and,
right,
you know, you even look at the amount of people who go on to have more jobs, like Sean Marks.
Right.
Goes to the Nets, like, he's trying to do a similar thing, like, just it's still that base, as you put it.
Right.
So it's cool, but I'm curious, like, you know, you mentioned you went to the Kendrick Lamar show, we were talking earlier, and the Travis Scott show, like, is there like a cultural divide as far as like the old heads don't listen to that, and it's like you and like maybe like DeJounte are in the corner like listening Travis Scott?
They're probably our guys probably won't listen to any Travis Scott. That probably won't happen. We do have some more young guys in on this my third and fourth year team. Well, this year's team coming up, and last year we had some more young guys in the locker room. So a few of us started bumping Travis Scott a lot more in the locker room. So
so do you ever play Tony Parker's song of Fabulous during warm-ups or anything?
Oh, man, nah. I heard it once, and I think I'm going to keep it like that. I'm sure it was a fire song. I just didn't know what what my boy TP was saying.
And then obviously there's Kawhi Leonard, who's a superstar.
Right.
But, you know, very reserved, very tries to fly under the radar, and,
right,
you know, just an unbelievable player. So,
definitely.
I mean, what's it like going up against him? He's like lauded for his defense. I'm sure you guys go at it in practice. What's it like going up against him?
Yeah, well, it's tough. He's gonna make you work on the defensive end. It's gonna be tough to, you know, get around him or get what you want on him, but he's gonna come back on the offensive end and give you hell too. So you know, Wise, one of the toughest players I've ever seen. You know, he's gotten so much better year in, year out. You know, it's fun watching him every night.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the guy is unbelievable. Right. And such, what an amazing story for him. But, you know, just kind of wrapping this up a little bit, talked a little bit about music. I know you're big into it.
Yeah.
I saw you post the Dynasty intro on your IG. Yeah. My respect levels for you skyrocketed.
Right.
That's like, I wish that was like my anthem every time I walked into a room. I'm wondering what, you know, what are some of your favorite projects out right now?
Out right now, been listening to some 21 Savage. His new mixtape is great. Who else? Young Thug dropped a mixtape. Future. I like the young guys. I like the old guys. I like the young guys. I respect everybody.
The new, you heard the new ASAP 12e album?
Of course. Shout out to my guy Mel. Shout out 12e. For sure.
I saw you flick it up with Chasing Cash too.
That's my guy. Whenever I'm in New Orleans, I kick it with Chase for sure.
Yeah, and like he loves ball too.
Right, exactly.
Like, I don't know. I always try and, you know, listen to the guys who like actually like basketball.
Right.
And
definitely,
you know, just hearing like bars about random ass basketball players. I love that. Do you like the new Jay-Z album though? Like, what are your thoughts on it?
Of course, yeah. I listened to it. It was just like, you know, old head Jay-Z kicking game. That's, you know, you gotta appreciate it. Yeah. You gotta respect it. I'm Jay-Z, like, you know, his songs and lyrics, you know, I like soak so much in from it. Like, you know, he gives out so much wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's been doing that for a long time in his music that, like, you know, it's just Jay-Z's dope, man. I kind of wish, like, we can – I love Drake, but I wish we could, like, trade Drake for Jay-Z and art, you know, while I'm in college.
Yeah.
You know, Jay-Z and, you know, Dynasty just came out. That'd be great. But, you know, Hov's awesome.
Yeah. Well, Kyle, you know, one last time, celebrate Life Day.
Yes.
This Saturday, August 12th, a great cause for, you know, your friend Paul Kim.
Definitely.
Friendsofpaulkim.org is where they can find more information, right?
www.friendsofpaulkim.org. We're also on Instagram, Celebrate Life Day. Check us out. You know, I think it's going to be a great event. I wish my whole town of North Bergen and Fairview can come out. That'd be awesome. So, but everybody come out, have a good time, man. It's we're celebrating one of my best friends, and, you know, we're celebrating life in honor of his name. So it's gonna be fun.
Well, one last thing actually that I remember now. So usually after I do the AKA Lamborghini PD, you know, the stupid shit that I always do, I was shocked that you didn't give me the AKA Slow-Mo.
AKA Slow-Mo in the building.
How'd you get that nickname?
That's, yo, that, I don't, we can't figure it out. When we were 11 years old, we went down to Nationals, and, you know, I was a big point guard, obviously, my methodical style of playing, and I just can remember, you know, hearing people from Texas, Slow-Mo, Slow-Mo, Slow-Mo. Like, you know, I don't – but then, you know, I would say IS-8 actually, you know, is where it blew up.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Pete Walsh and Hassan, those guys is, you know, who are the ones who made it blow up. That's where everybody – you know, that's when – you know, I don't even think some people know my real name. You know, just call me Slow-Mo so much. So, you know – I don't know. Who knows? I think it's a good nickname. You know, I love it.
Nah, I would say it's probably one of, if not the best nicknames in the NBA right now. But Kyle, thank you again, man. Always a pleasure. Best of luck with everything.
Yes,
you know, we'll be following you as always, and, you know, hope to talk to you soon next time we're in New York, man.
Definitely.
No doubt.
Appreciate it.
Of course.